You're listening to the Self-Made is a Myth, Make a Difference Together show with your host, Coach Tim Campsall, where we talk with successful business owners to hear the stories of their journeys in building their successful businesses. And more importantly, we recognize the folks who help them excel because we know that achieving business success is not something we can do on our own.
Hello, everyone. This is Coach Tim Campsall, and I'm excited to have a fellow business owner from Boston with us today. And something unique about my guest is that at the age of eight, check this out. This is funny. She prescribed a diet to her own mother, which that act started her passion for holistic well-being. In her downtime, she enjoys hiking and being in nature with her husband and their dog. And she is most proud of the dedicated care that she provided her mother, who was bravely battling Alzheimer's and passed away about 18 months ago. It is my pleasure to welcome Ellen to the show today. Hello, Ellen.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Hey, let's start with having you introduce yourself. Tell us your full name and a bit of your personal story, like where you were born and live and about your family.
Thank you. So my name is Ellen Comerford, and I grew up in Burlington, Massachusetts, which is just about 12 miles north of the city. But I've been living in Boston proper for about 20 years, which I love Boston. I love being here. And I'm in a neighborhood called Beacon Hill, which if you've ever been to Boston, it's our favorite neighborhood, and it's truly a village and a neighborhood. Like, we all go to the hardware store, you know, to see Jack, who owns it, and his wife Cassie, and everybody goes to the pharmacy. So it's a beautiful community.
Ellen, tell us a little bit more about the hiking and being in the nature. What is your favorite thing to do in nature?
So I was thinking about this the other day. I think now that I have done so many trainings in holistic wellness, being in nature scientifically does calm you. You know, the fresh air, the lumens from the sun, you know, the grounding. But I remember when I was a little girl, my dad used to take my brother and me. We would just drive not to like a park, but, you know, woods, you know, behind a company in Burlington, where we'd just go off into the woods and explore. And I just loved that. That was one of my favorite things to do. And fortunately, my husband loves that too. And we've been able to do some bicycle trips. So we have gone to Grand Canyon, you know, bicycled, you know, Zion and Bryce. We've also gone to Alaska, where he actually proposed to me. But wow. Yeah, being in nature, I think, is, you know, the national parks are amazing. It's my favorite thing to do. I love the city, but I love being, you know, in the woods or on the ocean or on a lake. It's so soothing.
I love it. So, hey, is there a funny story that your family likes to tell about you that you'd be willing to share with us today?
Well, you know, when you mentioned about when I was eight-ish, that, you know, and my mom had just told me that probably about, you know, 15 years ago. I have always been so passionate about wellness and health. And, you know, when she reminded me that I wrote her a prescription for a diet, and, you know, I think it's funny, but it's also reassuring that I'm in the right place, right. You know, but I'm sure I'm the youngest of four children, and I used to write my mother love letters all of the time. Oh. I just was madly in love with her my whole life. She was my best friend. Oh. But I'm sure I heard her saying, oh, I have to lose weight. Oh, I have to lose weight. And she told me that the letter started out, first of all, I love you. Then I went on to prescribe the diet. But yeah, so I've been very, very interested in this my whole life. You know, just how can we feel the best, be happy and healthy?
A wonderful story. So, Ellen, tell us, how did the business come about? And at what point did you have the confidence you could run your own business?
That was a long journey. I had my daughter pretty young. So I was 17 and I finished high school, but I had her during high school. And so I ended up, and I married her father. I ended up going to night school for college. So it took me, in fact, my daughter Jacqueline, when she graduated high school in 2000, I graduated from Northeastern University with a degree in
well,
marketing.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes. And it was a long journey because I, you know, of course, work full time. And again, my passion was wellness and fitness. And I ended up working for this semiconductor company. And so I did a degree in marketing because I got reimbursement. They wouldn't pay for, you know, medical school, right? It's like, well, what are you going to do here? And it's fun. I love marketing and I love business. But I would teach fitness like at 6 a.m. before work every day. And, you know, then I'd be going to night school and the homework. And it was a crazy journey. And then I was working in marketing. So I was traveling a lot and I wouldn't be able to finish the, you know, courses at night because of attendance. And so it was a lot of juggling and that's why it took so long. But, you know, when I finally got my degree, by the way, my Jackie's father and I divorced, you know, when we were 30. So we got married when we were 17 and we decided at 30, it was, you know, a good run. So I remarried Mark, my soulmate, and we've been married since 1997. But when I finished my degree, he was like, what are you going to do now? What are you going to, you know? And I said, you know, I had, you know, a friend I knew said there was an opportunity at Hewlett Packard. And, you know, he's like, whoa, you're going to do the same thing? We're like, what are you going to do? And he really inspired me to really think beyond. I didn't have, am I going to get in the, I was in a high tech company. My passion was not high tech.
Yeah.
And, you know, my uncle Howard, who also had Alzheimer's, he passed away in 2019. He, when I was little, told me, Ellen, if you can figure out what you love to do and do that for a living, you'll never work a day in your life. Yeah. I thought, wow. So I kind of had this hope, like, oh, I want, you know, what is it? And I kept on coming back to wellness. It's like, well, that's a pretty big subject. And it is, but it is, it entails so many different things to be truly well. And so that's when I started going full time into training again, of course. You know, I was already a certified personal trainer, fitness and things. But then I got into Pilates, a movement system, gyrotonic, which is amazing, advanced biomechanics, tons of nutrition training. It's so amazing, that whole world out there. So I truly am, you know, Howard was right. I love it. But, you know, the business end isn't always, there's work.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
It was a little misleading.
So tell us a little bit more about the company. What's the name? What do you guys do? How do you help people?
So my company is called Core de Vie. And I have to shout out to my daughter, Jacqueline Leahy, because while I was doing all this training, she's like, Mom, you should definitely open up your own Pilates studio. My mom's a Pilates teacher. And I was like, that's so much more. but yeah, she was like, you should call it Core de Vie because core, you know, Pilates, your core. And in French, it's like heart or body. So I love that, heart of life. And I'm like, oh, you know, so I was toying with the idea for years. And then when I finally did it, you know, I was kind of like, Jackie, what do you think? And she's like, what do you mean? What do I think? Like, and so she thought of the name and people love that name, you know? And so I actually started just a little safe business. One of my clients had, and still has, it's called the Pilot House in the North End on the waterfront. And she wanted a little wellness studio. So I opened that up, very safe, no risk, you know? And that's technically when I did, but then the real brick and mortar, like the risk, was in 2006 when I was working for Sports Club LA. I was a Pilates master at the Boston Conservatory. I was doing my little North End thing. I was at this place called the Movement Center of Boston, a beautiful studio, but I was just running all over the place and all that time it took. And it's, you know, and it was really, I had a very prominent client. His name, I don't know if you've ever heard of Jack Welch.
Yes.
He was CEO. All right. So I started teaching him in around 2001, and he was always after me to start my own business. And I had another client, Meredith Clapp, she just passed away in January, was, Ellen, you got to start your own business. And she noticed a little store in Beacon Hill was having a huge sale. I think they're going out of business. And I was terrified. And I was saying to my husband, oh my God, Meredith is after me. Like, this is, I think I'm going to do this. And then she calls me the next day, they have a for rent sign up. And that just said, my husband, do it, you know? And so, you know, and Jack Welch was so cute. He was like, it's a no brainer. So I was like, all right, I'm doing this. But it was really scary and exciting and fun. And I started just in this backspace of a big space. So Charles Street is like Main Street of Boston. That's the all the little boutiques.
Okay.
At the end of 48 Charles Street was River Street at the other end of this one building. And I had the little back room, and that's where I started my little Pilates gyrotonic studio. And then we expanded into the front. The owners of the building was Mario Ratsky and his wife, and they sold like rugs, these, you know, Turkish rugs. But they wanted to get out of the business, and so they said, we love what you're doing. They can't believe how, you know, we were a full house. I had my employees, we were cooking, and they said, we feel really bad, but we don't want to do rugs anymore, and we want one tenant for the whole space. We don't want to manage two tenants. And I was like, I felt so like, what am I going to do? I felt responsible for my employees. And by the way, we made them employees. We opened up a real live business. All the other studios were like, you were contractors. There was no health insurance. Like, I wanted to do a real business that was, you know, part of the community, part of, you know, employee enrichment, you know, my neighbors, the organizations. And we proposed to them, we will take it over. And we had to do a build out downstairs. They said, you can have the lease as long as you build out the downstairs. And that was a lot of money and time. And we were like, we just did it. So we became Portavi on Charles Street. The rent was huge and the build out was huge. But, you know, then being on that main street just brought in all of the community, you know. And we had opened retail. Like, I had never done retail. I don't even like shopping, but you know what? So this is 2007, 2008. My husband was in the startup world, in the VC world, and he happened to know the company that had just worked with Lululemon to go public. And in 2007, 2008, there was no Lululemon store, and we got it.
No,
I'm telling you, I wish I had video, because people were screaming when they saw that this little Lululemon. It sold itself, you know. So that was a journey in itself, the whole retail animal. But and then of course, you know, the build out and all of that money. And I don't know if you're remembering what happened in 2007 and 2008, there was a recession. So as we were ready to open, we built out a whole spa downstairs for massage and acupuncture, facials. We had the whole staff ready to go. They wouldn't let us open it. They said there was like some technical floor area ratio that we should never have even been able to get a building permit.
Oh, no.
So we were like, well, so I know I was thinking like of challenges. This was so devastating. It took us a year to get the downstairs open. So we actually had to lay off the staff. And this is during that recession. We're like, good God, we just put in all this investment. But, yeah. And then it was great. It was great and hard. And then retail was so hard. And, you know, I was teaching Jack Welch this whole time. And of course, he moved to New York and he summered on Nantucket. So I used to go to Nantucket to teach him. And every time I would go to teach him, the first thing is like, all right, who's working today? How many appointments do you have? That, like grilling me about my business. Really good, because people pay him a lot of money to do that. And I was like, leave me alone. But awesome. It was, I think, the big challenge for me after the Lululemon, you know, wasn't so hot anymore. The other big product I brought in because of my passion was Vibram Five Fingers. I'm very much into foot health. And Vibram Five Fingers came out with a five-fingered sneaker. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it's like a glove for your foot. So it allows you to do barefoot movement, because we have 33 joints in each foot, outside. And this was like, we got that was so great. They said, at first said that we couldn't have it in our retail store because they only wanted to sell to shoe stores because it was such an education process. But once we told them everything that I taught, and they were thrilled. And so that was another, I hit the Lululemon, I had the Vibram, and that was passionate. But then it became really hard and picking new lines. And I found myself, you know, managing all the employees. And I felt like I was managing this retail store that it wasn't my passion, you know? So that was another challenge. And I'll never forget. I kept on telling that to Jack, like the retail is awful. I hate it. And he told me there was a very wise mentor he had that told him, make your back room somebody else's front room. And I was like, huh. And he said, Al, your retail space in the front, that's your back room. And I was like, wow, so that really changed my game, because then I was able to, I sublet it to someone that was passionate about their line, right? It was an athletic wear line competing with the Lululemons, and then I didn't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So that was great. And then it was great, you know, employee stuff and the, you know, little things here and there, and it was a lot of work. And then COVID hit, and then we had to shut down, and we were talking about another 10-year lease. My lease was up on August 1st of 2020. And in February, we were negotiating another 10 years. And I heard about this thing that people were worried about. And as time was going on, I you know, they were comparing it to the Spanish flu. And that, thank God.
Yeah.
Mark and I were talking about it, and I just said, I don't think we should sign. And that was so hard, because Beacon Hill's my home,
and
community, but that rent was huge. And so, I mean, even in February, at the end of February, people were leaving, because a lot of people in Beacon Hill have second and third homes. Nobody wanted to be in the city. Our attendance rates are not good. And, you know, I had people calling me, how did you get out of that lease? Like, it was up. People, you know, people were trying to get out of their leases, and their landlords were like, talk to my lawyer. So it was so hard. And I was so grateful, because I got out from that. Wow. I mean, we certainly paid for an empty studio through the end of July. But
so, Ellen, what's your biggest learning as a business owner?
I think the biggest learning is that nobody is going to come and rescue you. You know, it's like, I don't know, growing up, just like, you know, family helps. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's your business, and you really have to figure things out. Like, you know, not signing another 10 years, nobody told me to do that. And I wanted, you know, in those times when you're so unsure, it's like, somebody tell me what to do. Somebody tell me the right steps here, you know, because when we were, that was, you know, that was so hard. But I gained so much confidence too. I knew it was the right thing to do in my heart of hearts, in my core de vie.
It's so important to listen to our gut. You know, it can be hard to hear it at times with everything that's going on, but yeah, so
I agree. And I think that I tie that back into wellness. You know, a lot of people ask me about my story. And one of the things I didn't really talk about is when I was in my early 20s, and I told you I was like crazy. I had a little kid, right? I was going to night school. I was teaching all these classes. I looked amazing. The number on the scale, all right, you got it, right? You got it. I felt awful. I felt I was exhausted. And that is not wellness, right? And so that wellness, like, what is wellness? That big subject. And, you know, now that I'm like old and seasoned, so I'm coming up on 60. And, I'm always revisiting that question. And my clients too, I have clients from all ages, all fitness levels, you know, some with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, you know, I have ice skaters. I taught Dorothy Hamill, you know, like all of it.
Yeah.
And I used to have this pillar, like, well, we have to, I call it food, move, and mood. Right. So like your nutrition, your movement, and your mindset, really. And they all interplay. Yeah. But I always had the foundation sleep. So sleep, it doesn't matter if you're not getting sleep, it doesn't, your food, right. You know, it's not going to do it for you. But what I've realized is that sleep is actually one of those pillars. And really, I think our foundation, and I've come to this understanding in the past couple of years, is really our hormones. Our hormone health is something you can't see. You really have to get tested for it. Mm. And like, that may be why you're not sleeping. So this underlying level is, I think, huge. Wow. And that's another business I've actually just gotten into it 1 year ago. And it's a hormone health company, and I'm so excited about it because I am holistic. I do not believe in injecting growth hormone or taking it. But one of my dear colleagues, Marie Aspling, she has an organic spa here in Boston, and she had been reaching out to me during COVID, but I was just like, she's a scientist. She's from Sweden. She's a scientist. And she was like, look it, I studied this product for 3 months and I'm going to get involved. And I was too wounded still from the shutdown and COVID. But, you know, a year ago I called her, I got back into the city and I was like, what, tell me about this. And it's an amazing, you know, company that I think that is going to be huge. It's an all natural gel. It's homeopathic. And so I don't know if you've ever heard of the Oura Ring, Tim. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Oura Ring I've been wearing since February of 21. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to try this gel and see, right? It's all natural things, nothing, right? Because I make my own toothpaste. Okay. I make my own deodorant. I'm like, so I'm a month in and my HRV has gotten high. And my heart rate got low. And now those two things were really bothering me because I feel like I'm checking all the boxes, right? And that's why I changed my mind on the hormone health because it was something I couldn't see. And here, then I'm like, wow, why is my heart rate always elevated? Why is my HRV high? What is this elusive HRV? And 1 month in, it was unbelievable. Wow. And so then when you've got that, I'm telling you, you sleep better, which is really important, but then you want to make better diet choices. You want to move, you feel like moving, right? And all those things, you're happy, your thoughts, you're joyful, you're excited, you have hope. So yeah, I'm back it, you know, so I have a little office space. I'm a soul practitioner right now. And well,
let's talk about the future. So the next 1 to 3 years, what's the number one priority or challenge that you see in achieving your goals?
So the number one priority is going to be self-care. Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of, you know, work on this. Again, that big wellness bucket, it comes down to self-care, because you got to do the work yourself. Like, people come, I have a new client. She canceled her knee surgery after the second visit. She's like, my knee doesn't hurt anymore.
Wow.
And so it's like, but she's doing the work. I can tell her what to do, but so my mission is I'm going to empower millions of people to create self-care. And self-care looks different for everybody, sure. You know, but there's a lot of check boxes everybody yeah. should have. So I think self-care for myself, for my community. And, you know, I have my little brick and mortar, but I'm really excited about doing more. You know, COVID taught me how to teach online. So I have clients all over the world. Technically, it doesn't matter where I am as long as I have Wi-Fi. Yes. And that's really exciting. So I think I want to, you know, go more in that direction, especially with this, you know, homeopathic hormone health company. Like, I'm really, that's growing, and that's, you know, in the umbrella of Core to V. But yeah, self-care.
Very cool.
So empower people.
I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit, Alan. If I was to ask you to pick three people in your business owner journey that you're most grateful for them being there to help with your growth, who are those three people and how'd they help you?
I think number one, my husband, Mark Comerford. He has a lot of business experience, and he has been there through it all. He has really good advice. And, you know, I remember when I was so afraid to open up that Beacon Hill space, and he said, you know, you have so much passion and I have so much business, like, come on, you know? And so I, like, if I have three people, I gotta go like, well, Mark, right? And like, of course, Jack Welch and Meredith. Oh, but my daughter, oh, can I put those as like a big one? Because then I want to say my mother. Oh my gosh, all those years, like, she really was such a cheerleader, and she loved that I opened a wellness center, and she loved coming to it. You know, she would have facials and massages and acupuncture, and, you know, when I was so afraid, she was just, my whole life, she was a cheerleader. Yeah. So, you know what, I'll boil it down to my mother, my husband, and my daughter.
Wonderful. Last question here. Jim Rohn, an awesome business guru, says that we become the average of the five people we spend the most time with. So as you think about that quote, what advice would you have for business owners who are trying to do it on their own?
I love Jim Rohn, by the way, and I've been, you know, studying him, especially with this new business. Authenticity. You know, they say fake it till you make it. I don't know about that. I don't think faking it. I don't know if people are just more savvy, or when somebody's faking it, I feel like I can tell, and I if it doesn't feel good in my heart, my core to be, like, authenticity is hard. But you know what? At the end of the day, no matter what happens, you were true. You were true. And don't ever give that up. Believe in yourself, but be authentic.
I love it. Yes, you're right. We can sniff it out when people aren't being their true selves, right?
Right, well, right.
Now, there is enough. You mentioned mindset earlier. I think maybe the other side of that, you know, what, instead of fake it, what people should be told is find your own confidence, right? Because confidence attracts, right, other people to buy into your idea. And if you're confident in your idea, even if you said earlier, right, hey, running a business is hard. So, you know, we might be unconfident in the running the business side, but if we're confident in what we're offering or the product or benefit, right, the rest will all work itself out.
Right. That's what they used to, you know, when we'd run the numbers, the retail sales, it was always the highest when I was working the store, or my daughter, poor Jackie, she worked the store too. But, you know, for me, I never felt like a salesperson, but I wanted everybody in Vibram Five Fingers. I wanted to teach everybody about that. I wanted them to buy these healthy supplements that, you know, wanted them to. So yeah, and that was authentic. It wasn't like, yeah, go ahead, buy this.
Yes.
You know, whatever it is, you'll love it. You know, that's just, they don't believe me. My husband's like, you know, we could have made a lot more money if we sold like sugary caffeinated things, right? You know, pick something people are addicted to. I'm like, no, yeah.
One of our phrases is that selling is actually professionally helping people to make a decision that's right for them.
So, yes, I agree.
When you're doing that and you believe in what you're offering, then right, it's not selling anymore. It's just, you know, helping people.
It's helping. You're of service. That's a good, that helps me if I feel like, oh, I don't want to feel salesy, but you're being of service. I'm grateful to my friend Marie telling me about, you know, this homeopathic product. I'm like so glad that I have, you know, these products in my life. It's made such a huge difference.
I love it. Ellen, it sounds like you've been blessed with some incredible people that have been part of your journey. If they were all on the show today, what would you want to say to them?
I have a gratitude journal, which I recommend everybody do. And I fill it out morning and night. And I am beyond grateful. Mm-hmm. You know, I meditate a lot too, before I go to bed. And, you know, being grateful puts you in a very healing state. Mm-hmm. You can't be in fight or flight and grateful at the same time. So just thinking about one thing you're grateful for, I am so great. I'm so grateful. I would say, you know, Mark and Jackie and my dog Pasha and Jackie's dog Freddie, you know, I love them so much. They're my whole world. I'm grateful for our health, because that is true wealth. And, you know, I'm grateful we're in this beautiful city in Boston and we get to be together a lot. I love that we live right by the common. We are in nature, just, you know, right at our doorstep. And I love them and I'm so grateful. I don't even know how to thank. I don't know how to thank them. I'm really blessed.
I love it. Thank you so much for your authenticity, Ellen. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. It was really fun talking with you, Tim. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Self-Made is a Myth show. Please help spread this movement by liking and subscribing to our show and following us on Facebook and LinkedIn. To join our movement, go to bemadtogether.com. Okay, folks, that's a wrap. Please pay it forward and be sure to tune in next time to the Self-Made is a Myth podcast.